When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at TravelWyoming.com. Hey, everyone. I have a quick favor to ask. We are up for a Signal Award. This is like a podcast awards thing. And we're in the category of Best Commute Podcast. It would be really lovely if people wanted to go and vote for us in that category. It is the Signal Awards, and the category is Best Commute Podcast. If you went over there and voted for Atlas Obscura, I would be very grateful. Okay, on to the show.
Hi, you have reached the Atlas Obscura podcast line. I'm Dylan Thuris. Leave me a message about a strange, unusual, or surprising place that happens to be near where you grew up or where you live now.
Hi, my name is Patty Makowski, and we live in kind of a time warp. It's a small fishing village just a few steps south of the Canadian border. It's still very much a fishing village. Both white and native people go out fishing every day and night that they're allowed. And really, if you remove the sound of the diesel engines, there's nothing that's going on today that hasn't gone on. It takes me back hundreds, if not thousands of years. You can see the way the life just continues on the way it always has. Something very timeless about it. One of the cool things about Blaine is that in the late 19th century, this is where the Americans and the British first met to establish the 49th parallel separating our two countries. And marker number one is right outside. I live on my sailboat. Right outside, I can see it from my boat. And then they took it across the country, across the 49th parallel, all the way out to, I guess, Newfoundland. We also have the Peace Arch. And that is a beautiful monument celebrating the longest undefended border, international border on Earth. So that's kind of cool. I wasn't born here. We sailed up here 6 years ago thinking we would continue on to Alaska and then go down to Mexico, but there is something captivating about this place. There's just something that brings the past alive. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we climb aboard with Patty Makowski to talk about Blaine, about boats, and about living at the very end of the longest border in the world. Batten down the hatches. We'll be right back.
Hold on 1 second. I just got it back on.
Oh, no problem.
I just got back on the boat, and we're in the middle of a gale.
Oh.
So we're trying to batten down the hatches here.
You should do that.
Oh, no. It's just we have like 45-mile-an-hour winds, and it's always an adventure.
I don't think I've ever heard batten down the hatches used in a real conversation.
I know. It's quite unusual. We've been living aboard for 6 years, so I tend to talk in boat speak.
As you can hear, I called Patty back at an exciting time, in the middle of this storm. Man, that is wild. I don't know. For some reason in my mind, you were on like a placid, calm inlet.
No, not at all. Not in the wintertime. Pacific Northwest is very hardy. People live here.
Okay, so this is going to be a play-along at home game. Go to Google Maps and zoom into the U.S.-Canadian border. Start just after that little bit sticks up in Minnesota. You can pause if you want. I'll be here. Okay. Are you there? Good. Zoom all the way in. If you scroll along the border, you'll notice a strange shadowy gap in the trees. That's called the border slash. It's a 20-foot-wide treeless zone that runs through everything from little isolated islands in Maine all the way to Arctic Village, Alaska. Every American pays around half a cent a year to maintain that slash. East of Minnesota, the border is jagged. It traces along lakes and rivers and other natural boundaries. But heading west from Minnesota, it's a smooth, straight line. It follows the 49th parallel. That's about the same latitude as Paris. So in your map, if you scroll along that until you get to the edge of the continent, where the border hooks down under Vancouver. Right there, where the straight part ends, up in that northwest corner of the U.S., is a town called Blaine in Washington. If you zoom in on the bay, you'll see some boats in the dock. And there you are, at the floating home of Patty Makowski. Why did the boat stop in Blaine, of all places?
It is literally 100 feet south of the Canadian border.
And the boat was breaking down.
Close to the Canadian border is an understatement. It's easier for me to go to lunch in Canada than it is for me to go to lunch in the United States.
After living in Blaine for 6 years, the borders come to define Patty and her husband's lives in all kinds of interesting ways. When the pandemic hit in 2020, it became a kind of wall, even on the water.
Prior to COVID, we were inundated with Canadians every day, Vancouverites actually, coming across the border to go shopping. Now, since COVID, the border's been shut since March with no opening. And everyone who hated the idea of being inundated every day with people crossing the border is now missing it in their pocketbook. So it is, I think, we have learned a great lesson on how dependent we are on each other.
I had a question. How do borders on water work?
We can sail into Canada. It's called Right of Innocent Passage. If you cross the border by accident, it's no harm, no foul. If you land anywhere, a Canadian in the U.S. or a U.S. in the Canadian, if you land anywhere, you must declare yourself. And again, since COVID, nobody's allowed across the border, period. We have friends that accidentally went across the border. They were out really testing the theory, and they were immediately approached by Coast Guard. I'm sure the surveillance is much more than we're aware of.
It's no accident that Blaine is where it is, at the end of the border.
It has a long history. It was originally settled by the people that established the 49th parallel. Yeah, the Army sent people from the United States, and Great Britain sent people, and they established that was going to be the separation between Canada and the U.S., but they had to measure it before GPS, which was quite a job. And I think it took them years just to get the first two or three monuments in. And gradually over the years, they moved eastward until it came out on the north side of Maine. Hello?
Hi, can you still hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I think the storm is getting worse and I think the reception has gone. Can you call me later?
Sure. While we wait for the storm to subside, let's follow that same line. Let's take a walk along the 49th parallel. It's easy to forget how weird borders really are. The U.S.-Canadian border divides airports. It splits waterfalls. It even cuts through a library in the town of Derbyline, Vermont, so that if you want to check out a book, you're basically entering Canada. And it separates people who are otherwise very much the same. For a long time, the U.S. northern border stopped once it hit that lump in Minnesota. But people kept going farther and farther west, and when settlers following the Oregon Trail finally made it out to Oregon, assuming they hadn't died of dysentery, it forced the British and American governments to hash out the final details. In 1846, the Oregon Treaty drew the final line, extending the border the rest of the way along the 49th parallel and just tucking it under Vancouver right there at the end. It was easy to draw the border on the map, but marking the actual physical border was done with a monumental effort by surveyors using compasses, angles, and the stars. The markers were meant to follow the 49th parallel, but actually they stagger a little bit, like a college kid coming home from the bar. Due to the lack of precision instruments, the markers meander for hundreds of yards from the line. Also, the surveyors might actually have been drunk. Anyway, even the line itself, the actual latitude line we call the 49th parallel, it moves over time, shifted a few meters here and there by the wobble of Earth's poles. Like I said, borders are strange. Of course, we need to acknowledge that all of this border making was happening on land stolen from North America's indigenous people. Though sometimes the strange artificiality of the U.S.-Canadian border was something that indigenous people used strategically. Lakota fighters called the border the Medicine Line, and crossing over it into Canada stopped the U.S. cavalry right in their tracks. It gave the Lakota time to treat their injured. Out on the West Coast, a tribe known as the Semiamu First Nation originally occupied the area that's now Blaine, Washington. They lived on both sides of the border before there was a border. But as U.S. settlers and cavalry closed in on the area, the Semiamu moved north to live behind the border of Canada. There's still a town on the U.S. side called Semiamu, but today it's a golf resort.
Hello, Dylan?
Yeah, it's me again. I thought I'd just see if this was any better.
It's much better, I think.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. The storm's passed, and Patty Makowski is back on the line with me. She's telling me why her and her husband have stayed in Blaine for over 6 years.
I have fallen in love with this, seeing the whales and the otters and seals just coming up to you and barking at you and the eagles. As soon as you go offshore, you are in 500 feet of water, surrounded by volcanic mountains and very few people, and it is absolutely stunning. It's indescribable. As far as borders go, they're obviously a political and an economic construct. We are no different than the people north of us. They're no different than us. If it were up to normal people, if it were definitely up to sailors, there would be none. A lot of people don't get it, and it doesn't really matter. But for the few of us that live aboard boats, we all have these silly grins on our faces, and it answers something for us that no dirt dweller can understand, as they call them.
I've never heard. I'm glad to now put myself in the ranks of dirt dweller. When people ask me what I am, I'll add that to the list. You both obviously seem quite free-spirited. What is your next big adventure? Where are you going next?
As I say, it's probably going to be down toward Mexico. It's a huge trip, and my husband always wanted to see Alaska. So what we will do, we do not know. It's either north or south. We're pretty adventurous for an old couple.
Well, thank you, Patty.
Well, thank you for calling me. This has been fun.
Agreed. It's been really, really nice. And I'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Thank you so much to Patty Makowski for chatting with us. We asked our listeners to tell us about the wonders in their backyards. And so far, Patty is the only one who has a backyard 500 feet deep. But if you want to tell us about something amazing in your backyard or something unusual near where you grew up, please record a voice memo and send it to us at hello@atlasobscura.com. Or you can give us a call at 315-992-7902 and leave us a voicemail. We may well use it in an upcoming episode. That number again is 315-992-7902. Or you can email us at hello at atlasobscura.com. This podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Witness Docs. The production team includes Doug Baldinger, Chris Naka, Camille Stanley, me, Dylan Thuris, Sarah Wyman, John Delore, and Peter Clowney. Our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tindall. This episode was mixed by Luce Fleming. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.